Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Our first stop is in Cleveland, where John Beilein and the Cavs have parted ways. He's leaving on the table $12 million, 54 games into a five-year contract, and it's already over in Cleveland. James Rapine is joining us now, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, columnist and host on their station. He's on Twitter, at James Rapine. James, thanks for hopping on in Portland with us, man. I read your article on the Beilein thing. I read the Athletic article on the Beilein thing. It's wild. Like, it's not that it's shocking a coach doesn't work coming from college to the NBA. I think it's more in the manner in which this all just unraveled so quickly into a five-year deal.
Yeah, extremely quick. I mean, some of the details provided by the Athletic in the preseason, I mean, because of injuries and lack of practice time, and it's just things that are they're normal in everyday NBA life. Kevin Love not playing on back-to-backs. Well, that's, given his injury history, that's probably something you could have seen from a mile away. So I was kind of shocked that Beilein was surprised by these things in NBA lifestyle, or the fact that he didn't have a plan to adjust his system to it. It is shocking that it was such a short-lived run here in Cleveland.
Well, how do the fans feel about this? Because it's just such a unique organization that has been bad for so long, but then you have the LeBron eras mixed in there and a championship in the last handful of years, and now seemingly back to the old ways of doing things. Just how do the fans feel about all this stuff going on?
Yeah, I think they're almost indifferent with Beilein, because there was never high expectations for this team, and they're on the border and they're on the verge. You're right. Without LeBron, they've been a bad organization. And so they need to find a way to build a winning culture outside of LeBron James. They couldn't do it when he left for 4 years, when he went to Miami, and they're struggling to do it now. So I think fans, I don't want to say they're apathetic yet, but I think that's the dangerous territory that the Cavs now find themselves in. I mean, guys, they're on their fourth coach now with J.B. Bickerstaff. It's not official, but it will be official later today. Fourth coach since October of 2018. That's wild to me.
Yeah. James Rapine is our guest, 92.3 The Fan over there in Cleveland, our sister station, as the Cavaliers have parted ways 54 days after hiring John Beilein and a five-year contract. You know, I guess part of this, too, when you read your piece of, it seems like he came to the NBA having no idea how the NBA works, which is just mind-numbing, because I feel like a casual fan can understand maybe some culture in the NBA, and it seems like he thought college would just translate straight to what he did from Michigan into Cleveland. But I'm also kind of looking at the broader spectrum here of the franchise, and aside from this being an S show and Kobe Altman getting this and them going through multiple coaches, you know, if LeBron doesn't decide to return and win a championship, where the hell is this franchise right now? And do you think Gilbert ends up selling it at some point had LeBron never returned?
Maybe. I mean, that's certainly something that you could go down. I would say this, that they wouldn't be well run, that six coaches in 7 years would be an even higher number. You wouldn't have the finals appearances. You probably wouldn't even have playoff appearances, because they showed no signs, you know, because you walk into a Kyrie Irving. I mean, that's easy first overall. Yeah. You think back on it. You walked into LeBron James first overall. But when they haven't gotten the first pick, and even times when they did, Anthony Bennett, they got it wrong. So it is a really tough spot if you're a Cavs fan to be in, because you had those good years and now you're looking at it and you're wondering where the hope is. And here's the other thing that's alarming to me, guys. When you look at this Cavaliers organization, Dan Gilbert had to okay the Andre Drummond trade. He has to sign off on all of the Cavaliers moves. And I can't think of an organization in pro sports, and maybe you guys can, where the owner is signing off on the GM's moves, where they're considered a well-run organization, a contender, right, an organization with good culture. And so I think it starts there with Dan. And it trickles its way down.
Yeah, and looking over everybody's shoulder is never a good thing. I did want to get one quick one in about Kevin Love. His name has been connected with Portland, obviously, growing up here, and the Blazers and him, they're rumored, you know, the deadline, nothing happened. Just what do you think the future holds for him? I think he's got 2 more years left on that deal. How does it play out in Cleveland?
He's actually got 3 after this year.
Okay.
It's 3 years, over $90 million left on that contract. So I think the Cavaliers will certainly look to move him this offseason. He's probably a little happier with Beeline out and a guy like J.B. Bickerstaff in, someone who at least has some kind of NBA history, you know, has been around the game and understands it. That being said, I still think he ends up elsewhere this offseason. And the value, that's the question here. Will Kobe Altman be willing to take less than he views Love at? Because he values Love. He thinks he's still an asset. And we saw around the league that teams do not, including the Trailblazers, view him that way, considering the contract and how much money he has left on that deal.
Yeah, Cleveland fan probably happy that it's almost baseball season now as the Browns are disappointing, and here we are with the Cavs firing their coach after a 5-year deal, 54 games, or parting ways, I should say. James Rapine, 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. He got a good article on this on their website. Go check it out, and he's on Twitter, at James Rapine. James, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for stopping in and filling us in on what's going on in Cleveland.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from James Rapine in Cleveland. Let's go to Justin Rogers in Detroit. Detroit News covering the Detroit Lions. The rumor is the Caesars Sportsbook has Tua in Detroit. Detroit is the co-favorite to land Tua in the draft. We'd heard rumblings about this, but it was shot down, and now it's changed a little bit with the sportsbook. So Justin Rogers hops on. Justin, thanks for joining us in Portland, man. Just kind of your overall feeling or thoughts on Caesars making Detroit the co-favorite to land Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, anytime Vegas chimes in and the numbers are a little off, it gets you to think twice. But, you know, this is something I'm still struggling to come to grips with. I think that maybe Vegas here in this instance is buying into some of the smoke screens that the Lions are sending out. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in a situation where the general manager and coach nearly lost their jobs at the end of the last season and have been told you need to win immediately if you want to keep your jobs next season.
Yeah, rookie quarterbacks don't often do that. And I hope I'm not putting you in a tough spot, but I'm curious if you can explain the Stafford contract to us. I mean, we've seen some rumblings about that when the whole trade stuff popped up. Like, he's got a crazy amount owed, and whether he's on the roster or not, it's a huge cap hit. Like, just how does that thing work and maybe keep them from potentially drafting somebody and moving on from Stafford?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Stafford obviously is still in the midst of a massive extension he signed a couple years ago. And as it stands currently, he's due to have a cap hit a little bit bigger than $21 million next year. They did a restructure at the end of last season. They converted a little bit of his base salary and a little bit of a roster bonus that's due next year into bonuses that could be spread across, you know, multiple years. But if they trade him, the cap hit goes up to $24 million. So it actually costs more to get rid of Matthew Stafford than to keep him on your roster for season. And if you're talking about Tagovailoa in this instance, you're talking about a guy that you're probably not going to throw out and start right away as he recovers from this hip injury. So, you know, I don't think trading Stafford makes a whole lot of sense either. If they did go that route, I think they would keep both of them for a year, very similar to the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation in Kansas City a couple years back. Yeah.
Justin Rogers is our guest covering the Detroit Lions for the Detroit News. He's on Twitter at Justin_Rogers. Give him a follow for all things Lion related. Look, I'm not going to pretend to know, so I'm going to ask you this question, and this is going to be started with just an opinion. I personally don't find it helpful or ever really working where an owner basically says you have 1 year or you're fired for a coaching staff. What is the clear plan for Detroit here? Do you realistically think that they can compete next year within the division or in the NFC with the roster that they appear to have right now?
Yeah, you know, I think you look at where they were at the midpoint of last season. They were 3-4-1. They lost a heartbreaker in prime time to the Green Bay Packers, where there was a phantom fans, hands of the face call that kind of swayed that game. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in the fourth quarter, blowing a late lead, and they were hammering the Arizona Cardinals in the opener before giving up an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter where You know, they probably should have won that game. So you're really looking at a team that, that could have easily been 6-2 at the break with Matthew Stafford. So you go out and you add a good defensive piece at three and maybe even pick up a contributor in that top of the second round. You spend your free agency money and you go out and you sign a guy that can make an impact right away. And maybe you flip a bunch of those close losses into victories. Can they do a worse the first turn around? I think it's absolutely possible. I'm certainly not going to call it likely, but I think it's something that's realistic. And listen, whether ownership said it or not, you knew this was going to be a one-year fix-it or go situation. You know, it's just now ownership has actually stated what the situation is more than anything.
Does Matt Patricia actually use the pencils or just for looks?
No, he definitely used it. It's a big thing for him.
Big thing. Okay.
Any reason it's a pencil? Is it just because he doesn't want you race it? Is that all?
You know, I think it just goes back to his note-taking days as an engineer more than anything.
There we go. Justin Rogers, Detroit News, covering the Lions. The rumor of them wanting Tua. He's not so convinced on that one, but Vegas makes these kind of moves, and as he mentions, everybody starts to kind of wonder and panic a little bit, and we get the latest in Detroit from Justin Rogers on Twitter, @Justin_Rogers. Justin, thanks so much for hopping on in Portland and giving us the lowdown in Detroit, man.
Hey, no problem.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.